portion sizes now and 20 years ago? Which do you think is larger? Should the LAPD require policemen to be fit? And in this week's feature section, we discuss circuit training. All this and more on episode number 34 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello and welcome to show number 34 of Fat to Fit Radio. So how are you doing this week, Russ?
Well, I am doing very well. You know, I've got 6 weeks this week till I go on a cruise. So I'm trying to kick it in the butt here and really do some extra workouts. And yeah, it's really going well so far for the most part. But it's really busy also. We've got lots of things going on. Kids are going on vacation, going to camp. Also, so just a lot of little things to get done this week. What about you?
Well, actually, I was just thinking, you know, you said you're going to be the Adonis in 6 weeks. I saw a thing on TV just a little while ago. You know that show or that movie 300 that came out?
Oh, sure.
You know how all the guys have those six-pack abs and everything? I guess those six-pack abs were done with a little bit of makeup and spray paint. So maybe there's a video for you. If you don't quite make that Adonis look, we can always fake it for you.
You know, it's funny you mention that. I was watching a television show, and there was a commercial, and the guy's getting some kind of body paint or something on him at a resort. And the guy who's getting it done, it's, he's overweight, and he looks down at the guy. He says, you know, you're not getting a tip. So the guy grabs his brush, his airbrush, and airbrushes on these abs right on his skin. Yeah. And the guy's chest pumps up, and he's just, now he's feeling good. And he's like, so then the guy gets a big tip. So I don't watch a lot of commercials, but that was one I happened to catch, and it was very funny.
And there's only so much that makeup can really hide. So
yeah, you know, there was, have you ever watched that show? It was called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Do you ever have that in Canada?
I know what that is, yeah.
So there's this guy, Kyan. I think it was his name, or I was close to that anyway. And he said, you know what, this is so sad. You know, doing some manscaping can add definition. And I don't know what I want to define with this body I got right now. But at the time, I thought, that sounds like a good idea. So I grabbed the clippers that I have here at the house, and I set them on kind of a, you know, maybe quarter-inch setting. And I went ahead and did some manscaping in the bathroom. And the day before, or the morning of going to Disneyland, oh my God, the little hairs turn with the blunt end, and they just poke you in the chest. And it is the most uncomfortable thing that you will ever do as a guy, is trim your chest hairs. So I you know, guys out there, and I don't know what about other parts of your body. I mean, you know, legs or whatever, but that chest and the stomach area, oh, or either shave it clean or just leave it natural.
Not that we don't enjoy this topic, but let's get a little bit back onto what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
And let's move into our email and comment section.
Yep. Our first email this week came in from Chris, and he wrote, "Hi, I just recently started listening to your podcast. I live in the Northeast U.S. and have found your wealth of information very useful and powerful. I'm now 35 and in fair shape, getting better, looking to live a longer, healthier lifestyle. As a father of two daughters, I have a great sense of responsibility to serve as a positive example of positive body image and general well-being.
I especially appreciate your moderate approach to diet and exercise by revealing what you found to work and not work. I am trying to influence my entire extended family to look at their lives and their health in a more positive light, and with Fat to Fit Radio, I am better empowered to do that. Thanks again, and keep up the great work."
Yeah, Chris, that is awesome. And, you know, each week we get these wonderful letters, and we're just happy to help, and, you know, hope we keep helping for a long time to come.
And that's right. A positive example is probably the best thing that you can do to influence your children. If they see you living that way, it's a lot easier for them to just, you know, start following you. And actually, on another note, I mentioned a couple months ago that I was trying to get back into teaching more phys ed. I haven't taught phys ed in quite a number of years. And next year, I will be teaching 5 classes of phys ed. So about a third of my teaching schedule, I will be teaching grade 9 and 10 phys ed. So that kind of got me back into it as well. By doing this show, I'm doing this every week. Now I'm going to have more of a positive influence myself. So just a little news here.
That's very cool. So the next item that came in was from Paxi, and she was commenting on a story from the last show that we shared about the 2008 childhood obesity rates in Canada.
And she wrote, "Though I do not deny that children are becoming more and more overweight, I feel the need to comment on young children being classified obese. My youngest son was classified as obese when he was 10 months old, and we were referred to the specialist at the local children's hospital to make sure that it was not hormonal. It turns out, however, that he is perfectly normal, even though he was and is twice the weight of other kids his age.
Here is the kicker, though. At that time, he was still exclusively breastfed. He had not started solids at all. He had not even had water. Now he is 18 months old and his weight gain has stopped, but he is still nearly twice the size of the other kids his age, and he eats very small amounts and still mostly breastfed. My other children are quite skinny and we're eating much more than he does at the same age. And we're nursing too, so it is really his body and not what goes in that is determining his weight. The specialist also told me that BMI should not be done for children under the age of 5 because children's weight and height can vary so much. So the rates of obese 2-year-olds really do not count, in my opinion."
That being said, I do think that parents are feeding their children the wrong things and that there are many children out there that are unhealthy despite their weight. Juices and foods that are full of sugar, sodium, food additives such as dyes and artificial flavors, foods that are overly processed and no longer taste like real food. These children are not learning how to eat at all. Parents are setting their kids up for failure, whether it be obesity later in life or just unhealthy overall.
Yep. So I responded back on the blog when I saw Paxi's comment, because I have to agree with the idea that breastfed babies are, you know, an exclusion. I have a friend of ours. Our first son, Adam, and their first son were born 3 months apart, and Adam was big from the beginning, and he was out of his little baby child seat at 3 months old, which usually you get 6 to 9 months out of those things. I mean, he was 20 pounds at 3 months. He was big. But their little boy was like 25 pounds at 2 months. I don't recall the exact weights, but was really big, and he was exclusively breastfed. So I definitely agree with Paxi there. And I also, when I made that comment about juices, I definitely meant Kool-Aid, you know, just sugar and water, not necessarily, you know, any kind of, you know, apple juice or things that have some kind of food value to them also. So thank you, Paxi, for that great comment.
And if you'd like to send us a comment or suggestion from what we've been talking about, there's 4 ways you can contact us.
Yeah, that first way is to leave a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail. Click on the Call Me button over on the website and put in your name and phone number, and you can leave us a free voicemail.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, and now we're going to discuss some news on the web report.
All right, my first news item is entitled, "Step Away from the Carbs, Dietitian Tells Cops." And it's an interesting article that I found on CNN.com, and it's talking about the LAPD. It relaxed the fat limits for new recruits who want to be police, and it looks like now they're really battling the bulge. So what the LAPD just recently did is they had to hire a full-time dietitian to work with the police. And the article is talking about how police have a very hard time eating healthy because of their long shifts, and it also takes away time that they might be exercising because of their shift work. They now have, and I'm quoting here, "they have the right to remain chubby, but it can and will be used against them on the streets of Los Angeles." So in LA, men must be under 22% body fat and women have to be under 30% body fat to be hired. But I guess in the last couple of years, they experienced a shortage. So they briefly relaxed this limit, got a lot more recruits, but now the cops look like the typical American, which is, you know, a lot heavier, of course. Now, here's some good advice that applies to everyone. This is what I got from the article. Officers who don't plan their meals are reduced to nutrition bottom feeding. So drive-through burgers, microwave burritos, greasy slices of pizza, and the officers can make a better bite out of crime if they aren't hungry on their shifts. So they encourage them to stash energy bars, fruit and peanut butter sandwiches in your squad cars and desks, and to stave off hunger when getting a full meal is hard. And that's just really good common sense for everyone there. If you have a job that it's really hard to eat healthy, you have to be prepared ahead of time or you will have to go out and, you know, get the fast food. So just some good common sense from this article. So Russ, what do you have for us this week?
Well, this week I found an article. It was about portion size then and now. And it says here that over the past few decades, portion sizes of everything have grown considerably. And unfortunately, Americans' waistbands have also. In the 1970s, around 47% of Americans were overweight or obese. Now, 66% of us are. So this is a great side-by-side comparison. And you got to click on the link to see these pictures. Particularly the first one here. It says here, it shows two slices of pizza from 20 years ago and from now. And the two slices 20 years ago were about 500 calories. And now these slices have gotten larger and there are 70% more calories. It's 850 calories for two slices of pizza. And this was a real telling one here also. How many of you out there get a cup of coffee at, say, at Starbucks, you know, three or four times a week? 20 years ago, a coffee with milk and sugar and 8 ounces of it, which is the normal serving then, was 45 calories. Very nice. Today, if you, and this is actually kind of skewed here towards this real high calorie one. But anyway, it's called the Grande Cafe Mocha with whip and 2% milk. 16 ounces, twice the size, but 733% more calories at 330 calories. So you see, our portion sizes are just out of control. Check out the other ones here, though. There are popcorn at the movies, 233% more calories. Bagels. Noah's Bagels here locally will give you a bagel that has 250% more calories than 20 years ago. Also, today's hamburgers, 177% more calories. A soda. In the 20 years ago, 8-ounce bottle of soda was the norm. Now it's a 20-ounce bottle, 250% more calories. So check out the article. Really, the pictures on here, you're looking at this and going, it's no wonder that the overweight and obese numbers are rising.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I was just thinking, we had a show about three or four shows ago where I talked about as you get older, your metabolism naturally slows down because you lose some muscle mass. And if you ate the exact same food that you ate throughout your life, you're naturally going to start gaining weight. And this even makes it worse because if you eat the exact same that you were eating 20 years ago, you're eating twice the calories and putting on a ton of weight. So that really puts a lot of things on its head when you think, but I'm eating a healthy thing that I was eating 20 years ago may not be the same at all. That's a good article, Russ.
Yeah, I found that very interesting. But you'll find both these articles linked to in the show notes over at the website fattofitradio.com.
We're now going to move on to our feature section. And this week, we're talking about circuit training. Now, in the past, we've talked about the importance of weight training, and we've also talked about the importance of doing cardio for fat loss and for overall health and fitness. And this week, circuit training is really a combination of both of these at the same time. So here's how it basically works. You go through a station where you'll do resistance training for a short time, then you'll get up and move to another station where you do cardio exercise to get your heart moving. And then you simply keep going back and forth between cardio and resistance training, back and forth in a circuit until you go through all of these exercises. And if you've ever been to a gym, you most likely would have seen a circuit set up, but you may not have realized what it was there for if nobody was actually doing the circuit training when you were there. But here's the technical definition from Wikipedia about circuit training.
Circuit training is a type of interval training in which strength exercises are combined with endurance and aerobic exercises, combining the benefits of both a cardiovascular and strength training workout. Circuit means a group of activities and refers to a number of selected stations positioned around the facility that are to be visited in rapid succession. The range of stations includes those comprising resistance equipment, as well as allocated spaces to do squat thrusts, push-ups, jumping jacks, sit-ups, and other exercises. Each person should complete the activity in one station before they proceed to the next station. They then continue until they have passed through all stations once or twice as required, or until a certain time requirement has been met.
Studies at Baylor University and the Cooper Institute show that circuit training is the most time-efficient way to enhance cardiovascular fitness and muscular endurance. Studies show that circuit training helps women to achieve their goals and maintain them longer than other forms of exercise or diet. And just some example, in a weight loss center, you might have down there a fitness and weight loss facility called Curves. Do you have that, Russ?
Oh, yes. Curves are very popular here in Southern California.
Well, basically how they do their fitness is they do circuit training at the facilities. And depending on the facility, they will have between 8 to 12 machines, and they are hydraulic resistance kind of machines. So if you think you're doing a bench press, you're on a machine that uses hydraulic resistance to make it a little bit harder. And they go around in a circuit where they'll do some cardiovascular and they'll do some resistance training. And I guess they're listening to a pre-programmed kind of tape that tells them when to move on to the next station. And that's what their workout routine is. And this is a very large, I guess, international weight loss center. And they really looked out to see what is the best and easiest sort of routine that people can do for exercise, because everyone at different levels of fitness can still do it together. It's just if your fitness isn't very high, you may not be doing as many repetitions of something or quite as hard, but you can still do the program with everyone moving to the next station at the same time. So Russ, have you seen circuit training in a gym before?
I have, when I belonged to Bally's and Gold's Gym. Both of those had a very nice circuit training section. But you know what? Most of the times it was unused. So if you really wanted to get a quick workout, which I often did, I would head over there and do the circuit. Otherwise, you know, the local Y, which I belong to, and also I went to visit another gym here recently, and both of those did not have circuit training areas. They were a little smaller, and so that's one of the things they took out of their gym. How about you? Do you ever do circuit training?
You know, I'm going to have to admit, I haven't done it myself in years and years. I'm really the type of guy that I go to the gym and I either do a good cardio workout, or I come to the gym and I just do weights. And usually I'll do a quick warm-up doing some sort of cardio to warm myself up before I do weights. But I've always seen the circuit training there. My gym actually has some red light bulbs that are around the gym that turn on and off to signal people when it's time to go from circuit to circuit. But one thing that I've really noticed in the gym is that if I go in the mornings, more in the summertime, I see a lot of older people do it. You know, the senior citizens, they're always packed. You know, they're going from station to station and they're all going at the same time. And I think maybe they've kind of figured it out. They're not really the type of people that want to just stick on an exercise machine or just do weights. And for them, it's really a good social thing as well, because they're talking and chatting as they move around the circuit. So I think it's a really good thing. And it's really odd that we see all this research that says it's a really good workout, yet the younger people aren't really doing it too often, and it's the older people that are doing it. But that's just my observations. Well, we're going to move on to some general advice. We looked at a whole ton of resources and we've kind of pulled out some of the best advice that we can give people if you're going to make up your own circuit training routine.
Yeah, first, circuit training can be done 2 to 4 times per week.
And just like with any resistance training, your muscles need some time to recover. So if you're doing the same muscles, you should leave at least 48 hours between sessions.
And for general fitness, a resistance should be chosen that allows the station to be completed for the prescribed period of time. Don't go heavy or you won't last.
And generally, you'll find that 8 to 12 exercises per circuit is plenty.
Each station will go between 30 and 90 seconds, with 30 to 90 seconds of rest between each.
And you can go through the entire circuit maybe up to 2 or 3 times, with a 2 or 3 minute rest between each complete circuit. Now, there's 3 ways that you can increase the intensity of your circuit training. Now, remember I said you can still be in a circuit with a whole bunch of other people moving to station to station, but you can still make it a little bit more challenging on yourself by doing these 3 things. So the first thing you could do is increase the station time that you're doing the activity.
Second way you can increase the intensity is to decrease the time that you rest between stations.
And the third way, you can increase the effort of each activity. So you could lift heavier weights, you could pedal faster, you could try and do more sit-ups, for example.
But definitely only change one of these things at a time. Each of them will make a huge difference, and you don't want to do too much too fast.
Now, we're going to let people know what you might see in the typical gym setting. And I already said that my gym has some red light bulbs that go on and off to tell people when it's time to switch. So if you see these lights going on and off in a gym, that's probably what they're there for.
Also, look for classes that do circuit training. They're actually quite social, and every few minutes, you get to hang out while you recover.
Now, I've also seen classes that do the typical circuits on the weight floor. So there's an instructor and there's a group of 10 or 15 people and they're all going together. But I've also seen classes that might typically be an aerobics class, something like that, and the entire class is in a gymnasium and they have step-ups and dumbbells and skipping ropes and they're just going station to station around the entire gym.
So if you don't belong to a gym, you can still do circuit training either at home, in a park, on the playground, anywhere with very little expense.
So we found a good article that talks about all of the different exercises you can do without any sort of equipment at all. And we're going to go over some examples of this article to give you an idea. You can always click on the link in the show notes to go to it. It comes from sportfitnessadvisor.com. And we'll give you some ideas of exercises you can do for total body, upper body, lower body, and your core region. Now, the one thing about a lot of these exercises, these are the things that most people have not seen since elementary school, and most people generally don't do them on their own, and the real reason is because they're hard. But here's some examples. All right, the first thing you could do are squat jumps. It's where your feet are kind of shoulder width apart, a little wider. You crouch down, you jump up as high as you can, you land, you crouch down, basically doing jumps.
Yeah, the second one is burpees. And these, if you ever played football or watched somebody practice football, a burpee is very popular there. And that's when you kind of stand and then you get into a crouch position with your hands on the ground and then into a push-up position, all flat out, and then stand back up and do it the reverse to get back up into a standing position.
Yeah, I remember hating those. Here's another one, tuck jumps. Now, this is where you stand on the spot and you jump up with both knees to touch your chest and back down and land and do them over and over.
And the exercise that was named after old man of fitness, Jack LaLanne, the jumping jack.
And here's another one, which is a squat thrust. So you're in a push-up position, and you kind of jump and bring your knees up to your chest, and then jump and put your legs back out straight behind you. So that's just some examples of full-body exercises, and you can see they're quite challenging. You don't need weights. But let's move on to some examples of just upper-body circuit training exercises.
Yeah, first thing, though, if you have some dumbbells, that's going to be a nice, easy way and very inexpensive way to get an upper body workout. So some dumbbells will get you started on that.
And of course, there's a whole ton of push-ups you can do, you know, regular ones with your arms wider apart, narrower together. Doing push-ups really slowly will also work.
This one here cannot be understated how well it works out your arms, and that's the bench dips. It's when you put your arms behind you on a bench and then lower yourself and then put yourself back up. Boy, that gives you a great workout on the arms.
Now, that's working your triceps, but if you want to work your biceps, you can always find something to do a chin-up on. Every playground will have some sort of thing that you can pull yourself up and do a couple chin-ups. Let's give some examples of some lower body circuit training exercises.
Well, my favorite one has to be the forward lunge when you're standing and then you kind of go into, looks like a running position, and then back up into a standing position and then alternate legs on that.
This next one is a single leg kickback where you're pretty much on your all fours and you're kicking your leg out behind you. You can also raise your leg up to the side, I suppose. I see that quite often as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's the one I remember my mother doing when I was a kid. That's a very old exercise.
Working on those hip flexors when they're bringing the leg up to the side you're talking about?
Oh, just the whole getting on hands and knees and just legs out to the side, legs out the back. Just, I remember that so vividly when I was a kid, my mother doing that in the living room.
Well, you know, a lot of these exercises fall out of style, but they still work like they used to work years ago. There's nothing wrong with them. You don't have to go to a gym and sit on a specialized machine that does it for you when you can do it just as well on your own.
Yeah, let's move on to the core exercises. And these are the ones that are going to work your midsection.
And the first example, you can do lots of sit-ups. Sit-ups regular, sit-up where you're twisting, sit-up where you're reaching in different directions. Tons of sit-ups.
Yep, and also one that I remember my mother doing all the time when I was a kid were the bicycle kicks, where you line the back and kind of raise the your rear end up and then just start moving the legs like you're riding a bicycle. Boy, I remember that really well.
There's another one called Superman's, and that's where you're laying face down on the floor with your hands down at your sides, and you try and raise up your chest to the top of the ceiling to stretch out and work those muscles. So that's just some brief examples of things you can do. So if you're interested, check out the show notes at fattofitradio.com, and we'll link to this article, and you can see all of these evil, tough, hard exercises that you can do without weights.
And be sure to check out these links, because they have some workouts that use these circuit training exercises in a workout that it's really easy. Just follow their instructions and the order that they have these exercises in, and you'll get a great workout.
So to sum up, circuit training is really a great activity. It does get the benefits of doing cardio and weights at the same time. So let's go over some of the advantages that we've found.
Yep, it can be easily structured to provide a whole body workout.
And it doesn't require expensive gym equipment.
Circuit training allows beginners and more advanced individuals working out to work out in the same equipment and still get a great workout at their level.
And it can be adapted for any size workout area.
And if you're working out doing circuit training to enhance yourself for a particular sport, then you can customize those different exercises to be specific of what you want to work out.
Now, when I was looking for disadvantages, there's only really one that I thought was reasonable, and that is circuit training is not great if your goal is just to build strength or muscle. So if you're into bodybuilding, circuit training may not be as intense as you need it. But for most of our listeners, we care about general health and weight loss, so this is a great type of exercise to add into all of your other types of exercises. Now, you might think by this time, this is now the best type of exercise and you should only do circuit training, but that's really not true. You should still be doing the resistance training, the weightlifting, you should be doing the interval training. This is just another tool that you can add into your workout regime so that you're not overtraining or getting bored with what you're doing. So Russ, what do you have for a recipe this week?
Well, this week, in lieu of having a recipe, I wanted to ask the listeners, I've been giving what kind of foods that I like. And so, you know, we've had a lot of Mexican foods, a lot of barbecue-related foods. Last week was coleslaw. And so I want to know what you guys like. And you're cooking every night and losing weight. And I want to know, what are your favorite foods? So if you don't mind, just grab that recipe out of your cabinet. Either stick it on the scanner, or if you've got it typed in somewhere in Word or anywhere else, and send that over to podcast@fattofitradio.com. I'd like to include your recipes in the upcoming shows. I can't wait to see what you all come up with. And so, Jeff, what kind of homework do we have this week?
Of course, I would like everyone to start doing circuit training in their regular fitness routines, but the homework is going to be a little bit different than just saying, go do circuit training. So I'm thinking, the exercises that we mentioned earlier in the show, you know, the burpees and the Supermans and all those kind of things, choose 6 of those and keep them as a backup for when you can't exercise or can't go to the gym for whatever reason. I'm sure that for most of them, people have not done them in years and years, if ever at all. So if you do a couple sets of each of them when you can't make it to the gym, you'll have a quick and efficient workout. So if you check out the show notes and click on the link that will give you all of those exercises we were talking about, you can read through and choose some ones that, you know, if you can't make it to the gym, these are things you could do at home and still get a good workout.
That's great. And what is our quote for the week?
Well, the quote, I really liked it. It's from Einstein. And a lot of people put on a lot of weight because they were doing things in a certain way, and they need to change their thinking and change their lifestyle to become healthier. So here's the quote. We can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them.
Wise man. Well, thank you, Jeff. And thank you all for downloading, for listening to this show. Really appreciate it. And we will talk to you all next show. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.